GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point, and there's the whistle. It's over! It's over!
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it! What? It's over the bar!
Hello, everyone. The RTE GAA podcast is back for another season. Over the winter, we've had quite the game of managerial hot seat. We've had new rules brought in for football, a turbulent time for the game as well, with matters off the field dominating the headlines. The GAA catfish is back. I'm sure everybody's up to date on that story. And so
don't mention cats with Jackie. Yeah.
And so too is the league, which means we are back as well. And it all starts this weekend. We've got a double football and hurling weekend. We're going to chat with Eamon a little bit later on with the football, but Jackie Tyrrell and Colm Keyes are with myself and Rory to look ahead to the hurling. How are we keeping, Jackie?
Yeah, all good, Jackie. Yeah, looking forward to the Darkness into Light campaign that is the league. We're in the darkness as we were speaking about, so you know, we just don't hear a whole lot about it. The lads are telling us that the launch is on Friday, which is practically up against it, you know, so it's disappointing to hear that there's not more coverage of it.
Yeah, it kind of always feels that way though, Colm, doesn't it? It just feels like we do this conversation every year that we're saying this is this magnificent competition that nobody knows about until it starts.
And even more so, Jackie, the fact that there has been no pre-season competitions. Obviously, there have been challenges and spectators have been able to go to some of those challenges, certainly not all and not a lot, but the structure and order of the pre-seasons, no doubt about it, were missed. And, you know, even we were talking there earlier, the information around squads for hurling and football is really, really poor. All that information is available. All the squads now are settled because they're all in receipt of state grants, obviously part of an intercounty squad. So that starts to kick in now. But you know, they're all registered for expenses. All the information is available. Yet the public are kept in the dark about this. And for the promotion of the second most important competition, that should be a given, that people know when they're going out next weekend, even at this stage, who is likely to be involved. Right now, I don't think that's the case in the majority of counties. Very, very much in the dark. And again, it probably speaks to how the competition has fallen off a little bit. And it's been a great competition, certainly in football. It might have receded a little bit because of the lack of jeopardy, which I'm sure we will be talking about. But again, the information around it, obviously there is an Alliance launch on Friday, but that's backed up to the weekend. Heretofore, that would have been much earlier in the week. And I suspect there may be difficulty in actually getting people to come forward and come to that. I don't know the detail around why it is running so late in the week. But as talking points go, it is very, very difficult to generate them when you are, by and large, and the public more so, are in the dark. They are the people who get out and pay their money to go in this weekend. And you wonder, apart from seeing the teams for the first time since last summer, where is the carrot? Where they like to talk. You know, people like to talk about these things, and there's an absence of talking around them. Obviously, the rules in football have dominated, but from a hurling point of view, you know, there's lots of things happening. You mentioned just to find out who's in, who's out, and detail around who's likely to be involved. So there's a real absence of it. There's a real void there.
Mm. Is the absence of the preseason competitions a big factor in that, Rory, do you think, given that we just have not seen these teams? We know they're operating in the background. There's challenge matches happening every weekend. Maybe because we just haven't seen them, Colm is right. They do seem like they're sitting in the darkness.
And I don't understand why they dispensed with them. We saw Martin Breheny again today in The Independent making the not unreasonable point that the GPA were particularly conspicuous by their silence on terms of calling out the teams that had broken the back to training protocols. We've seen, obviously, the challenge match circuit at full pelt, teams travelling from one end of the country to the other to play challenge games. So these competitions were actually quite handy in terms of making a few quid in the earlier parts of the year, getting people out of their homes, giving people a glimpse into the teams and the new panels that might be available, creating a few local rivalries. I remember Cork played Limerick there last year below Kilmallock or one, you know, it was, and like, and there was fantastic excitement around those fixtures even at that time of the year. And I don't know. I just think it's just a bit of a pity. I think this year of all years, particularly in a football sense, it was unwise to dispense with them. And we've seen the provincial councils come out very, very heavy on the folly of that decision now. Is it something that they're going to revisit? I don't know. I think the reality is, from a promotional point of view, the club finals were only last Sunday. I get a sense once the intercounty game kicks in, Croke Park is kind of flying by the seat of its pants because it is relentless. It comes back to my old friend, the calendar, which, you know, I've always had issues with, but it is just relentless. And like, to have a launch the day before, by the time that becomes the following day, the games have already begun.
Yeah, it's kind of challenging for the players, that's for sure. I wonder, Colin mentioned Jeopardy there, Jackie. Does it change the way people feel about this, given that we've got a new hurling structure? Obviously, if people haven't seen it, you're going to have four divisions this year, seven teams in each division. The teams are going to play six matches, three at home, three away. Top two get promoted in each division where that's possible, and the bottom two are relegated, and you'll have a league final. You do have to hit the ground running pretty quickly, because if you start losing a game, even on the opening week, you're susceptible to relegation. And I wonder, does that sense of jeopardy make this competition a bit more appealing to everybody, and it will get people on board quickly?
Yeah, Jackie, there's definitely an element of more cutthroat, especially with the two going down as well. You can't afford to lose too many games, but there's also scope for experimentation with new players within that. How much teams put into it, I would say there is a trend of the last couple of years of the league being more diluted due to the nature of the round robin and the speed that comes after post the league. But it's definitely a welcome decision, I think, the new structure of the league. The relegation definitely carries a bit of weight and a bit of impact. You know, teams will all want to be playing the top teams every year in preparation for that round robin nature, that cutthroat, that particularly the Munster Championship of it. So I welcome that. I would still have a worry of, due to how intense the championship is, that as the league progresses and you get closer and closer to the championship, how many teams are really, really looking to get into a league final and that. And some teams, we've seen that the strategy is, look, they're just feeling players out. If they can keep their head above water, get some new guys in, they're kind of happy enough with it. Limerick changed their tact every couple of years, and a lot of teams were just watching what they were doing, because they're obviously the market leaders, and that some years they've lost nearly all their league games and won their last one, and then other years they've gone really strong at it. But looking back at last year, Clare were league champions and they went on to win the All-Ireland, so it did them no harm either as well. Kilkenny predominantly always go after the league. Cork can be obviously very watery in their attitude towards the league, so it'll be interesting to see what Pat Ryan does there. And then you have other teams, you know, Dublin. You also have the new management in Galway and Antrim with Davy and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see what their attitude towards the league is.
I do think, Colin, for the teams who have won it, you look at Clare last year, Limerick previously, Kilkenny, as Jackie has mentioned, they have set themselves up well. Yeah. So like, the form is there to say that a good league campaign can actually help you later on.
And I think maybe more so in hurling, because there is a little bit of a gap. Now, it's only 2 weeks. The league final has gone into April in recent years. But there, you know, before that, there was nearly a 4 week gap between the end of the league and the start of the championship. Certainly a 3 week gap. So, but a 4 week gap between the end of the league and the start of the championship is a little bit long. If that was, say, in championship, you'd be concerned about that length of gap in the modern structure. So there is benefit to reaching a league final. And as Clare showed, they certainly lost nothing from it last year. In fact, they probably gained. But the amazing thing about the league is that, and it's a factor, and I think a lot of teams will be looking at this, is the Shane O'Donnell factor. The fact that he has skipped the last three league campaigns. He has not played. He played a little bit in the league final last year. He came back out and came on in that. And yet, he has probably been, over that entire period, he's probably been the best player. He's won three All-Stars, and he's the current Hurler of the Year. So I think a lot of teams will be looking at that, certainly with some of their older players, and they'll be curating around that. But I think, by and large, Clare showed last year, Kilkenny always show it. It does them no harm in the long term to really go after a league. And I think certain counties, they can't afford not to.
Can I ask Jackie Tyrrell a quick question, Jackie, there? How does a player of that quality keep his touch sharpness going ahead of it? Like, how does he manage to prep himself to keep hurling sharp going into championship without having that league banked?
It's an interesting question, and I remember that league finally came on and gave Hugh Lawler a nothing when he went in full forward. He was exceptional. As a player, I would absolutely hate that model. I would hate not that structure of week in, week out. Tuesday night was always our really dogged session with Kilkenny. I got great confidence from getting those in the bank and having them. I would compare Shane O'Donnell's model to a Mick Fennelly model. We had Mick Fennelly. He trained 20-30% of the time. Sometimes he mightn't train a whole lot, but come championship day, all you wanted to see was Mick Fennelly with number 8 on his back, and he would land and he would carry punch and he would be one of our main men. He had that ability, that mindset of being able to manage himself, do enough training to know his body. I would hate that. I wanted the confidence of, I'm after going to the well in January, February, March. I've got a good run of training. I'm in good shape. But it's the mentality. Some lads are set up that way. For Shane O'Donnell, he's obviously very meticulous of his preparation. But it's about knowing your body, knowing what you can and can't do, and being fresh coming into it. I liked the opposite of it. So it's down to the individual and being able to communicate with your manager in terms of, look, this is where I'm at. This is where my lifestyle is at. I will be ready come the latter part of the league. Yeah, I won't be doing all the collective sessions, but I'll be doing other sessions outside of that, maybe working closely with the S&C. And come when you need me, I'll be ready. And Shane O'Donnell has shown that model to work so well. And we've seen that with other guys as well. And then we've seen with other guys that have missed large portions of the league and struggle hit the ground running. We see Tony Kelly, he's had times where he's missed a large portion of it and took a while to find his feet. But then you get the bounce of it later on in championship. But sometimes you can't afford to have your key players out, because when you need them come later parts of the championship, you find yourself, you know what, you're not in and you're back with the club.
I was actually, Jackie, speaking to Tony Kelly last year after the Munster final, and the Shane O'Donnell model, shall we say, was put to him. Was that something that you would like or consider? And he was the complete opposite. He expressed much the same sentiment as yourself. If I'm fit, ready to go at any stage, I'm playing. That's the way I like it. Henry Shefflin actually sat out quite a few league campaigns. Obviously, his involvement with Ballyhale and then injuries too. But he was far more, certainly in the latter stages, the mid to latter end of his career, he was by and large a championship player. He played very little league.
Yeah, he was. And look, he had a few cruciates. And as you said, the Ballyhale, they were nearly running all year round. So look, and Brian managed that very well. You wouldn't see Henry playing a Burn Cup game. You wouldn't see him in January, February. It'd be March, April when the ground firmed up and he got a nice bit of stick off us about it. But we knew come crunch time, you could rely on Henry. I don't think he's seen a pre-season really. He didn't really see a DEXA scan in January or February. He was almost like Brian's little golden child. But, we knew what Henry was about. We knew he was doing his own work in the gym. And no better man to come crunch time that Henry would step up and be the man we needed him to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, you definitely wouldn't get away with that from your teammates, that's for sure. Well, let's finish off then by looking at, I guess, who's in the best shape then, Jackie, about what you think. We've had so many managerial movements. Your own, we just talked about Henry. He's obviously gone from Galway, Micheál Donoghue back in there. Some week for Niall O'Callaghan with Nafina, and then to go back in with Dublin. Davey going north. You know, it just seems like it's all been on a roller coaster, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And look, you normally get a bounce of a new manager and, you know, a lot of people are expecting that to come in Antrim. I'm not sure we'll see that quick. It's a big job for Davey up there. And the Dublin experiment, considering the success of Nafina, and it's probably the detail in which they play and how they play the game. You could see a Dublin team playing like that, considering the level of athleticism that's within that group. You could see how that is an easy transition to win. Nafina could play. You could see how Dublin could take that on as well. I think Cork are going to come strong into this league. I think there's a bit of, you know, hurt obviously of last year. And I think Pat Ryan is anxious with a lot of the newer guys that still haven't seen a whole lot of game time to throw them into the mix, blended with a lot of the younger lads that played last year, the likes of Brian Hayes and that. I'd expect Cork to have a really, really good league this year. I'm kind of excited for them. They fixed a lot of problems last year. They just seem to be in a better place. I think Owen Downey at 3 has just solved the problem and has just been a real, real strength for them now. And I'd expect him to see a lot of the league campaign just to really bed down into that role. And they just have so many options. You could see if they rotated and managed well. I think Cork have a lot to offer in this league.
Carrying a big panel there, Rory, as well. He's still taking a long look at a lot of players, to be fair. And I think when you've been in an All-Ireland final, you know you're close.
Yeah, he's got a huge amount of depth, to be fair. I was down in Cork there a couple of weeks ago, and I just went out to the Mardyke to have a look. Now, it's only an old exhibition game. You wouldn't be reading anything into it. The Cannon O'Brien Cup exhibition game. But like looking at what was available to him on the field on both teams, because UCC are largely a Cork-based, mostly a Cork personnel, he has a lot of quality. Like he could potentially still put in a very, very strong performance in the league with the depth that he has in the panel now and still give lots of lads game time. And I think that'll be something that I think we'll see. But as Jackie says, I think he's locked down a couple of key positions. That was massive. Cork were so close last year to taking the whole thing out. They beat the All-Ireland champions of 4 in a row twice. No one said they could do that. They only lost the All-Ireland final by one single point after extra time. So they're close. I think it's just one, maybe two little players that could come in, make a difference. Ben Cunningham, I think, is somebody that I know that they might look at. He's obviously had a little bit of a return to form. He went off colour maybe a bit last year. He's back hurling with UCC and back with the Bears playing well. So he's somebody that could potentially come into the half-forward line, because ball winners in that half-forward line will be a problem again for Cork, and relying on Seamus Harndy now at whatever age is something that they're probably going to have to know that they're going to have to move on from at some point. But yeah, look, I think they're going to be in a good position going into it. But there's so many different aspects to the hurl. I'm fascinated by Tipperary. I mean, Tipperary crashed and burned in 2024 and had a dreadful semi-final defeat to Clare where they were absolutely bet out the gate. Totally flopped in the Munster Hurling Championship. And we've seen a good few retirements again. We know Bonner's gone, Shamey Cal, you know. So, like, we're excited to see young Darren McCarthy. I think it's a big year for Tipperary. I know everyone is going to use the transition term for them. But look, in a county like Tipperary, that really isn't an excuse. So I think they're going to be really interesting. And that game on Sunday, Tip versus Galway, where it's going to be two very fresh panels, because we know there's a couple of retirements in Galway as well. I think that's a really fascinating encounter for me now.
Yeah, that's a big marquee game at the weekend. The other two in Division 1, Clare against Kilkenny and Wexford against Cork. Couple of big games there. Colm, who are you most excited to see in this league? Which team are you the most sort of intrigued about what you think you're going to see?
Well, two, and Rory has already mentioned them. I think there's an imperative, Jackie, for Cork to go and win the league. They have to win a competition, to go after it, set a target, go and do it. And they have the panel, as the lads have said, they have great, great depth at the moment. Ben Cunningham is a player I'm very interested in seeing. I think if they need cover, it's probably in their cornerback positions. Obviously, Owen Downey has brilliantly locked down fullback last year. He's only going to grow. Rob Downey is only going to grow. But I think in the corners, Niall O'Leary and Sean O'Donnell, who certainly need more competition and more options there. That's a concern for Cork. I think that's an area they will have to look at. But it's 1998 since they won the league. We say this repeatedly. Cork, go and win the league. It's high time. But there is an imperative for them, as a team, as a squad, as a management, to set a target of winning a competition that is very, very much within their grasp. Get used to that. Get used to finishing the job. And I think that will focus their minds to say, okay, the Munster Championship will be just a couple of weeks later, but we have to target it. We have to hit the ground running. We're big enough. We're expansive enough. And also, Tipperary, pressure on Liam Cahill, pressure on the players as well to deliver a higher standard. Rory mentioned that semi-final against Clare and the free-taking woes they had last year. I think Darren McCarthy might come in and just solve that. He was very, very good for Toomey Barra.
Excellent.
Yeah. And he has a nerve about him. He's very young, but he has a nerve about him because they were thrown around frees last year. And obviously Jason Ford has been a brilliant, brilliant marksman for them for years. But I think they'll appreciate Darren McCarthy this year. I'd say so far this season, and I'd say their season is extending a long time at this stage. They've put a lot in. I'd say it's shoulder to the wheel here. They certainly have to improve their performance collectively. I'd have a concern for them. I don't see huge leadership in the Tipperary squad now. They've obviously dispensed with Cathal Barrett for now. He brought something and he was a real crowd pleaser for Tipperary as well. So that's a gamble to leave a player like that out at this stage. I'd have a concern with regard to leadership. Noel McGrath isn't getting any younger, and obviously Bonamaha, who has been there He's also gone. Dan McCormick, players like that. So new players must step up and must step up quickly. And I'm not sure they're there. So it is a concern for Tipperary. It's a big county, big hurling county, but they have not been performing at a level that you would expect. So a lot of interest to see over the next few weeks how they go and who they bring forward.
Very interesting. All right, lads, we'll wrap it up in one word then. Give me your league winners for 2025. Jackie Tyrrell.
Limerick.
Rory.
I go with Cork. I think I agree with Colm. I think they need to win the league.
Okay. And Colm?
Cork. We probably won't be saying they need to win the league when it's May or June.
But you know what though, Colm? Like, for as long as, like, since I started following GA, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of age, going to matches, it was just this thing in Cork. They don't care about league hurling. They've just never cared about league hurling. It's just this weird mindset. But speaking of championship hurling, before we go there, Jackie Tyrrell, I presume you're logging off quickly here because you want to go and watch the Harty Cup semi-finals at 1:30, do you?
Only one show in town, Kieran's College today. I don't know this competition that you speak with a H.
All right, Jackie, listen, thanks a million for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the matches at the weekend.
Never give in.
He hits it. What? It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.
All right, Eamon Fitzmaurice has joined us now to chat football. And Eamon, I presume you're like a giddy child waiting to see your new rules coming into play this weekend, fully, properly in a league format with packed stadiums.
Yeah, that's the thing, Jackie. I think that's the proper stress test of the rules starts now, you know, in terms of the inter-county teams have had a couple of months preparing for them, and they'll be starting to find the possibilities, the loopholes, the issues. All of that will start to come to bear now over the next couple of weeks. So absolutely, I'm really looking forward to it now at this stage. And there's been a lot of talk, I suppose, over the last couple of months about them. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation about what the different rules are going to mean and that kind of thing. So it'll be great to see it play out now. So really looking forward to the weekend, as I think is everyone. We haven't had an inter-county match of competitive football since last July, which is hard to believe. So huge appetite for games there again, which is great.
I think that's what's added to the intrigue, Colm, that it has been so long since we've had inter-county games. Yes, we've had trial games. We've had obviously club championships that have come all the way through. But there's nothing that beats seeing it at the very, very top level with an extra layer of new rules being added to this.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go over what we said in the earlier segment, Jackie, about, you know, being in the dark about everything so much. I mean, that point stands. But I do think that the new rules and that level of intrigue around them will bring people out of curiosity, certainly over the first two weekends. And everybody's looking forward to see how they play out, how players, coaches, especially players also, and referees adapt. But the good coaches will extract a lot out of these. At least they should when they think about it. I think for players generally, it will take a lot of time and change of habits to be able to adapt from that reset, recycle. Players' vision may be 20 metres around them. That's what it has been in Gaelic football for so long. That safety, that security, that their level of vision does not extend to the whole area of the pitch, whereas these rules really do now invite that. They invite players to expand the pitch bigger than ever. But I think it'll take a long time for players to adapt to that, and it'll certainly take coaches. But I think the good coaches who are really thinking about this, I think they'll make progress very fast with it.
Yeah, well, because a lot of them, Rory, are going to have spent the whole winter studying this. Like, that's what they do. That's what these people are, you know, people like Eamon, this is what makes them tick. That's what's going to be so great about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I am so excited about the Football League and about football in general. I can't wait for it to start. I can't wait for it to kick in at club level. I'm delighted with that. I was a little bit concerned that they're coming in the hallway down to CCC2, as in from under 13 up. I think there will be challenges there, just simply with 13 and 14-year-olds being able to kick the ball out beyond the 45 is one simple thing. Physically being able to do it into a wind and those types of things. But look, in fairness, to county boards, they've left themselves with enough wiggle room to say, look, we can amend and adapt and we don't have to implement all of them. But I'm so excited about it. I think it's going to be like, it's like a step into the unknown. There is, I think anybody that says, oh, they can see a trend already, or that they see a manager like a Jim McGuinness with his voodoo and his black magic and all of that, that he's going to have some sort of steal, some sort of march. I don't buy that. I think this could take a year, maybe even 2 years, before real trends start to emerge where people start. Now, like, I don't necessarily see the game being hugely different in terms of how it will play out in a pattern basis. But I think from a sort of a macro point of view and looking ahead, I mean, like, there was two major factors in Gaelic football over the course of the winter months. There was obviously the format, which in the championship, which, as we all know, is ridiculously flawed, right? And then there was the FRC and the new rules. Now, could you imagine, Jackie, if we had been sat here, I was so thrilled when all of them passed, because I was saying to myself, could you imagine now if we were sat here, the format remaining the same, which we all know is daft, and we're basically back with the exact same game that we're all giving out about year in, year out. So I think it's very, very exciting. I think it's going to be really step into the unknown and roll on the weekend.
Mm. Do you think it's going to be drastically different looking this weekend, Eamon?
No, I don't, Jackie, to be honest. I think it's going to be, I think when everyone gets used to it, it's just going to be a natural game of football.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be quicker. I think it'll be more front to back. I think there will be more contests. I think there will be more turnovers. As Colm said there at the start, I think players will need to look up and play with their head up a bit more. But there are still going to be, you can still defend with 11. You can still go, if you go, particularly if you bring your goalkeeper beyond the halfway line, you can still slow it down and play, a more possession-based game there and set up kind of orchestrated chances for yourself. So there will be still aspects of that, but I do expect it to be a better spectacle. And I think as well, a big point is that there will be different styles will emerge through this year, for the simple reason that everyone's starting from the same start point. So different people are going to have different ideas on what the best way to make the rules work for their personnel. And the second thing is that you're going to be able to react to each other, because the game had gone to a place where, you know, if the opposition got away, the shark kick out, or got away a kick out at all, and the keeper came out, well, the kind of set thing to do was just back off them to at least the halfway line, because there was no point in engaging them up there because they were going to come out through you anyway. So you ended up with the slow attack, set defences. And both teams had to play that way. If one team decided to play that way, both teams nearly had to play that way. Whereas I think there'd be more room for manoeuvre in terms of trying to impose your own style on the opposition and not just having to react to their style, which to me is a huge positive. And I think that was one of the things always with football, that if you were playing Donegal, they might be playing a passing type game. If you were playing Cork, they'd have strong runners, or Mayo, strong runners coming from the half-back line. Kerry, Dublin might have been inclined to kick it a bit more. Meath, very traditional kicking team. You know, you had different styles associated with the different counties, whereas that had gone. It was a one-size-fit-all. And hopefully now we will see different styles again. But I don't think it's going to be a vastly different game, Jackie, but I'm hoping it will be a better spectacle. It'll be a more enjoyable game to play, and I think it'll be a more enjoyable game to coach as well.
Mm. Do you think, Colm, there'll be teams that this might suit better than other teams, given what they might have at their disposal? Like, you look at, let's say, a Jim McGuinness. He's got somebody like Michael Murphy coming back in. Total gamble in some ways, but there's obviously reasoning behind it. Like, a Galway, a very athletic team. Are there different teams who you're going, I think these are really going to suit them, we're going to see something different from them?
Well, you think, yes, you would think that it will suit the better inside forwards, but it will take time for adaptation. I said that earlier. I don't see, in the few games that I have seen so far, I don't see much exploitation of the inside mark. Now, that demands a kick now of over 30 metres, probably 35, really, if you're taking it from an angle and all of that. So it is a lot harder to be able to carry out a mark. But the rewards are very, very big because you can obviously go hunting for a goal and you get the chance back. I don't see much of that. So it's going to be a hard skill and a hard execution there. But I think when teams adapt, they will be able to make it. I would think a lot are trying to set up and trying to force two-pointers, which may not be the best strategy. Allow them to happen naturally, and I think you'll get a greater return. You would think Donegal, with some of the kickers they have, Oisin Gallen, Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson, Patrick McBrearty, and now Michael Murphy, that if they get opportunities, they have some of the best long-range kickers. But you have to go back and think, three up, the game is starting to fragment a little bit when the structure recedes. You would have to think that David Clifford and perhaps Sean O'Shea, if he plays inside for Kerry, yes, it should suit. It should suit Kerry. You go back to the Kerry-Derry quarterfinal last year, you saw the difficulty that Kerry had in trying to get those players, particularly David Clifford, getting him on the ball. You would think that with three up and in time as a game goes on, the structure will by and large remain the same. Eamon has said, we won't be looking at a considerably different game, and I don't believe it will. But I think those inside forwards, I think it'll suit Dublin too. I think Cormac Costello, depending on who comes back, obviously, for Dublin, but it should suit their fast inside forwards as well. So I think it'll suit the better teams and the kickers. Donegal, I'd be very enthusiastic about looking at Donegal over the next number of weeks. But I think ultimately the better forwards are going to benefit from this.
But yeah. I think it will open up the field a bit more. Like, I mean, Eamon, like if you're the three up rule, which I think is, you know, that's the real game changer. No, look, I think the solo and go is fantastic as well, but they're all great. Like, and they'll all bring different elements to it. But like at inter-county level, and I'd imagine certainly at club level and senior club level, if you're playing 3-4, like if you're Kerry, if you're Jack O'Connor and you've David Clifford, Paddy Clifford and Sean O'Shea, it's fairly no brainer in terms of who you leave up. So if you're the opposition manager, there's no way you're leaving the three of them one-on-one. So the chances are you're going to play a plus one at least back there, which again opens up more space. Would that be fair?
Yeah, 100%, Rory. I think a lot of teams will. And I made the point to my examiner column last weekend that if I was playing a team that went with the extra defender, I'd be pushing up on them to make it a 4v4, at least a 4v4. And if they go 5v4, then maybe you make a decision. But a 4v3... the back is coming out with the ball. It brings into play the forward chasing him, having to stop as they come towards the halfway line. So you don't want that kind of an unnatural situation developing. So you would match up, I imagine, the 4v4. And then possibly the defence might want the extra body and they'd make it a 5v4. But 100%, I think that's going to give it a shape. And it gives you the shape to attack when you're in possession. But also it reduces the number that you defend with to a maximum of 11. And that's huge in the games that I've seen. It's amazing to watch, because if we were talking 10 years ago about a team defending with 11 players, we'd have been pulling our hair out saying they were so defensive and everything else. But because it had gone to the extreme of everyone coming back to defend as much as they possibly could inside the 45, when you see teams attacking against 11 now, there's space there. There's actually a good bit of space there. And particularly then with the 2-point arc, the teams have to defend that. There's actually a lot of space there. So I think as teams get used to it, they will be able to exploit that, and they will be able to exploit the space. And I do think as well, which is a good thing, is that there's going to be more decision-making for the player in possession. You know, it's moved away from the kind of almost you could play an autopilot, don't take it into contact, cuss, loop, recycle, wait till someone falls asleep and, you know, drive in and kick your point from there. Whereas there's going to be a lot more decisions and a lot more options now for the player in possession. And they should be under more pressure as well. To me, the sitting off and defending in mass, I don't think it ever paid, but I don't think it's going to pay at all in the new game. So you're going to have to be a bit more aggressive in your defending, which is good again in terms of promoting contests. So we'll see. We'll have again, like I said at the start, it's all speculation. But after the weekend now, and certainly after the first three rounds, maybe we'll have good context and we'll start to see the trends.
And that is key, Jackie, because what will happen now this weekend? Players will make mistakes, managers will make mistakes, and referees will make mistakes, and there'll be Oh, you know, there'd be a big hoo-ha over some big major boo-boo by particularly a ref in some high-profile game, and everybody will be all very histrionic and hysterical. This will require a bedding in process, which will require a number of games, maybe a number of months, maybe even a year. And I just think people just need to calm down and enjoy them for what they are.
I'd
I
agree
hope
with
you
that
still
too,
feel
Rory.
that
I
on
think.
Monday, Rory. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't affect Cork on Saturday night, by the
Exactly.
way.
Yeah.
I think that too. I agree with that, Rory. This does not demand. In the past, we have seen rule changes brought in and proposals,
Hysterical reactions.
experiments, and within week one, the managers are up in arms.
Yeah.
The good thing about these rules is that everybody, almost to an individual manager or player, agrees that something had to be done. Now, obviously, there are the seven core enhancements, and then there are many more provisions made as well. And maybe by next November or October, whenever special Congress,
Couple of
they won't
tweaks.
all get through. And that's fine too, but at least it's going to be a good trial and error period here. And everybody has to have patience. Of course, referees are going to make mistakes, and lots of them. And we'll see even more at club level. And as I said earlier, players are going to have to, look at the enormity of the pitch, the broadness of the pitch now, and see it much, much differently than they have been for the last number of years. Coaches too really have to ditch the restraints that have been on teams here, because there are advantages. I'm not sure, and maybe Eamon will corroborate this, but there's been very little evidence of players adapting so far to solo and go. The solo and go and the mark are the two things that I feel have not been exploited. A lot of work around the kickouts and around the press and about the three up crossing the lines and, do you commit four back or four up and all of that. A lot of work around that, and also trying to manufacture the two pointer. But around the mark and the solo and go, I think there's improvements for teams there to really get them up the pitch.
Yeah, 100%, Colm, and I've been surprised, whatever about the inside mark, because teams have gone away from kicking it inside so much that it might take a bit of a adaptation. But the solo and go, I've been so surprised about the lack of use of it, because to me it's a no-brainer, and especially in the kind of offensive third of the pitch, if you get away with a solo and go, they are considering you 4 meters to take the solo and go, and you can't be touched for 4 meters again. I can see huge opportunities in terms of creating goals.
But it goes back, Eamon, to the mentality of I'll look back first, or I'll stand and see what the options are. The immediate thought is not go, take those 4 steps, and then solo and see what's on for you. That's just an adaptation that isn't there yet. But I think there will be big gains for it, certainly as this progresses and players adapt more and think more about it and situations. But that safety net, that safe approach from players is probably still there, because there is an uncertain period ahead. But I think in time there will be adaptations around that, and as I said, gains for teams here. As long as those restraints, as long as they are not hauled over the coals by coaches and say, allow players to express themselves a bit more within these rules, because there are advantages there for expression.
I think the solo and go is going to be class for what it's worth. I actually think, imagine in those scenarios when the players do adapt, and as Eamon says, the game starts flowing because nobody stops. Like that's what we're all screaming for. So bring it on. Eamon, who do you think is in the best shape, as you kind of look ahead to the year? Because like taking somebody like an Armagh, All-Ireland champions, obviously incredible for them to be able to get across the line, but you look at everything that's happened since, and no doubt it's definitely been a turbulent winter. You look at Galway and how close they've come, Dublin with some of the retirements, Kerry, even your own county, a lot of unknowns still there. So of the front runners, where are you seeing everybody right now?
It's fascinating, Jackie. I'd say Colm, I'd say you must have mentioned it in the hurling already. We just have no context. We've no idea where teams are at. But what's one thing that's for sure is just Division One is bonkers competitive. It's as competitive as I've ever seen it, in terms of there's absolutely no free passes there. Every game is going to be a complete battle. So teams will be taking points off each other. Like they've been mentioned already, Donegal, they had their overseas camp in the Middle East. By all accounts, it was a kind of more of a tactical style camp. So to me, that tells you a team that's a good bit down the line. And that if you're able to be focusing on the tactical nuances that early in a season, it means that you're in a good place. So
And a
because
good test for them the first week to come down to
it is,
Killarney, you know.
it's a serious test for Kerry. If Kerry gets 2 points out of that, Rory, they'd be very happy, because I just think Donegal are coming locked and loaded. Now, that's not based on anything, because we haven't seen anything yet. But just considering the personnel that they have, the fellow that's in charge of them, and the fact that they seem to have a good bit of work done, they'll be a handful early on for everyone, I think. So that'll be interesting. But other than that, it's very hard to know. Like Kerry are playing Dublin in the third round, and at that stage, you could have a scenario where Kerry and Dublin are grappling with each other for points because of being under pressure from earlier games, because they both have a tough enough start. But then again, they could just start off as they always do, and they could win the first two games. So it's very hard to tell. But it's great. It's great how competitive it is, because, like I said, there's no free passes there.
No, I also think, like, even Rory, for the novelty of it, Galway Armagh live on TV under the lights in Saltill this weekend. I know we've talked about the league, that it feels like it, nobody's been chatting about it. But I think when you turn on your television on Saturday night and you see a repeat of the All-Ireland final under the lights, I think that's going to get people excited.
Yes, my only caveat, I think the league as a competition, in terms of the motivation and the ambition for teams to win, is at a premium in every division except Division One. And it's a weird quirk, because I think what we're probably going to see in Division One largely is get maybe a couple of wins on the board, get maybe your 5 or 6 points, and just stay in it. And try and get a handle on these rules as much as we possibly can ahead of championship. I think where it becomes much more fascinating, and there's a far greater premium on your league position and league football, is particularly Division Two, as we all know, and even going down into Division Three and Division Four, because promotion means so much. And then there's tie into championship, which is one of the best things I think they've ever done in terms of GAA. I think linking league and championship was a good thing, because it means nearly every game matters. So I think, though, from a Division One perspective, I'd agree with Eamon. You could make a case for any team being relegated and any team winning it. It's just that strange. And then you factor in the fact that it's a whole new ball game. It's almost impossible to predict, but there's huge amounts to really savor and anticipate. Like, Dublin are fascinating. I mean, when you lose a totem like figure like Brian Fenton and James McCarthy from your, not only from your starting 15, but from like the leadership, just the status that the two of them would have brought into that dressing room, that is a monumental hole to
And we
fill.
don't know if that's the end of it either, Rory.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, that could be a whole new ball game for Dublin if. I think Rory's right, Colm, just to be able to lose that sort of leadership vacuum, given what those players in particular have given. But I suspect that there might even still be even a couple more that we're not 100% sure about.
Well, if you check Brian Fenton and his league appearance record in the time of Desi Farrell, I'm pretty sure he started every game, every league game. And it was only when he was taken off late against Tyrone, very, very little time spent off the field during the league game. Ever present, all the time during Desi, and obviously championship by extension. You got to go way back. Obviously, the suspension against Meath last year, and some of those dead rubber games against Tyrone and Roscommon, he may not have played in. But he's ever present since he came into the team. Missed a few in 2016, a few league games. Terms of championship, just always there. Himself and Kieran Kilkenny, ever present. Just as Rory says, totemic figures. McCarthy, obviously, James McCarthy has had a lot of injury and he's been rested, and he's been managed through that. Brian Fenton is such a loss during these league games that he has always been there. And yes, to answer your point, perhaps Jack McCaffrey, perhaps Paul Mannion. There has been speculation about the small, so that has gone on. Interestingly, Desi Farrell was interviewed by Dublin GAA. He didn't reference any other potential departures. He was interviewed last night. That was broadcast. They're bringing in 16 new players. That would suggest to me that if they brought in 16, that quite a few have gone. And there has been, a lot of speculation about around eight. That's been floated, that's been said. Again, not confirmed any of these, but you would have to think that if 16 new players are coming in, quite a few are out. Owen O'Donnell is in from the Hurlers. He'd be a big loss to the Hurlers, but he's a strong athlete. He could make. He's one to watch in the coming weeks. And obviously, James Madden is back from Brisbane. He spent six or so years out in AFL. He's another addition as well. You'd be looking at someone like Luke Brannock in the full forward line, certainly if Paul Mannion, and I don't know about Paddy Small, if they're not there in the early stages or at all, someone like him is going to make advances. So you'd certainly be looking at Dublin with interest to see who's in, who's out, who's making progress. So there's a lot of interest around Dublin in this league. Apart from the new rules and everything else, the identity of the team and who steps into those leadership roles that Fenton and McCarthy obviously held for so long. But
and Jackie, like one of the Colin mentioned there about the new rules, and obviously, like, you know, we spoke about totemic figures. I mean, one of the most influential Gaelic footballers of all time. We never know whether or not he's going to tag out for Dublin. And look, come the first round of championship in April, Cluxon could tag out. You could see him, you know, trotting out from underneath the Hogan stand again. But I would just wonder, has he potentially, this time maybe, will he look at it and say, right, because it was a big part of their artillery. His ability for those little deft little kickouts, short, going into the corner, drop one in here, drop one, like, the kickout is probably going to go back to a much more rudimentary, much more agricultural style kickout now, which takes away a massive part of what Cluxton delivered for Dublin over all of those years. So he may decide, right, my day is done. And that's another thing that, you know, you're taking out of the Dublin mix, which was so important to how they ticked, you know, his ability to find a Paul Flynn or a Kieran Kilkenny with a 40-yard, you know, low trajectory out to the wing position. Now you've got to get that ball out beyond the 45. You can't take chances. If it drops within the 45 aiming, correct me if I'm wrong, that only the forwards can touch it.
Inside the arc,
the backs can't touch it.
Yeah.
So you're probably telling your goalkeeper, you lamp it and you don't take any chances. Is that going to float Stephen Cluxton's boat? So again, all of this stuff is just fascinating.
Again, Rory is one of the best long kickers of a kick out. He is. Long distributor. Yeah. I mean, he is. If you think back to some of those, I mean, if you think back to the Jack McCaffrey goal in the All-Ireland final against Kerry, or the kick out that set Jack McCaffrey away, that the turning point against Tyrone. I mean, some of his long kick outs have been brilliant too.
Oh, he has it.
Yeah. And, you know, Evan Comerford may not be ready to come back just yet. And maybe a doubt even about David O'Hanlon. That will emerge this weekend. So maybe he stays in. Maybe he'll be there in some capacity. Who knows? It's very much, as we said in hurling, it's darkness into light. But
I like that, to be fair. Right, come here, we need to finish up, and like, I hate putting you on the spot, but I do actually kind of enjoy the crack out of it of saying, give me a league winner. I know it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but Eamon, just for the purposes of it, who do you reckon is going to win Division 1?
Oh God, I would say Donegal, except for the fact that they're playing Ulster Championship a week, they're playing Derry, okay, I think a week after the league final, to the best of my knowledge. Sure, look, we'll go with Kerry. So if I can't,
cool,
we'll go with Kerry, Jackie.
Oh, they'll love you for that. Right, Colm, give me your league champions.
I'm going to go with Galway, Jackie. Yeah, I think Galway have been busy in a short few days there at the beginning of the year. They came down and played Derry in a challenge in Meath, and then they played Galway, or played Kildare shortly afterwards in Newbridge. And they've played numerous challenges. They seem to me to be a team on the front foot early, with a lot of players back and a few potential players that can make a difference, that can go at a high level there. So I think Galway, there's business in Galway going and winning this league. I think it'd be important for them. It'd be a quick pickup after losing last year's All-Ireland final to Armagh. Be interested to see how Armagh go to see what they can add. You know, they're used to being the hunters. Now they may be the hunted, very, very much so. People will have that target on their back. So it's a hugely competitive league. I mean, 4 points is the lowest is the highest lowest number in the league since they reformatted in 2008 in Division One. So if we take it that the eighth team would have 4 points, I think we'll see the eighth team in this league climb above that. And I think the gap between first and eighth could be lower than ever before. I think it's about 7 points is the lowest.
So what you're saying, so a scoring difference could become a big factor.
I think so, yeah. And I think we'll see draws in it. I think we'll see a lot more draws. Draws are usually the preserved, statistically, draws are the preserve of Division Two. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll see more in Division One, given the competitiveness of this, the spread of teams. There's literally, if you're handicapping them, there's so little between them. But I see Galway nudging ahead.
Mm-hmm. Rory?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Galway as well. I think they probably need it just to flush that All-Ireland final appearance from the system. I think if they went out and performed well, I think also, look, I was very disappointed in them in that All-Ireland final. I think pound for pound, Galway have the most skillful players across the panel and a wider context. I think they have some incredible players right through the team. And they should have won that All-Ireland last year, and they didn't. And that's two All-Ireland finals in 3 years now, beaten in the final. Obviously, they performed really well against Kerry, but came up short. But last year's one, they should have taken out. And I think, look, if they're serious about going after the All-Ireland this year, maybe the best thing for them to do would be go after the win in this league. And that would hopefully park that for them. And it would set them up nicely then for Championship and another tilt at Sam.
Yeah, well, it sets us up nicely for the weekend. Live game on RTE is that Galway against Armagh game on Saturday evening. And a full weekend of fixtures to look forward to wherever you're going. Lads, enjoy it. And thanks so much. Great to be back. And we'll chat to you soon.
Lead by a goal. There's the whistle. It's over. It's over.